On this Fortnite's episode of Nerd and Ty, Nick, Fur, and Trey go to a convention. Shaq Fu is getting a crowdfunded sequel. We take first looks at the various Gotham costumes that were released, as well as the first looks at the Age of Ultron set. We let Nick talk about Gundam. There's a new Ninja Turtles trailer, and we read your mail. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this Fortnite's episode of Nerd and Ty. I am one of your hosts, Fur Stewers, and as always, with me are the sultry Trey Dorn.
I'm wearing pants.
And the salty Nick Azumi.
Hey, matey, don't you want to go on the ride on the pirate ship?
What the hell was that?
It was a salty sailor, I guess.
I thought you were trying pirate there for a minute, and I'm like, this is like...
Pirates are salty.
That wasn't really a pirate. That was like Nick Azumi at a Pride Fest.
There's enough fan fiction about that. Can we not?
No, I'm like, that's my thought of what Nick pretending to be gay in a mocking stereotypical way that's mildly offensive sounds like.
I wouldn't do that, though.
Apparently, when you attempt to impersonate a sailor, you do.
I hate you and everything around you.
But speaking of lots of people impersonating things and doing things, to start off, right?
Yeah, you impersonate a human all the time, Fur.
Good segue, right? I almost can't tell that I'm not. But it is, of course, the middle of the spring anime. Well, not just anime, but spring convention season. This is one of the most wonderful times of the year, in my opinion. And we all three went to some conventions over the past few weeks. And the first one we went to was a couple weeks ago. Nick and myself were there. Actually, it was just last weekend. KitsuneCon in Appleton, Wisconsin. Of course, this was KitsuneCon's fourth year. And we went mostly to represent Otaku Tonight Productions. And I don't know, Nick. I thought it was a pretty good weekend.
I had a lot of fun. We got to... I think the show went really well, but we also got to have a lot of other adventures. We filmed a kaiju movie, for one thing.
We did. We filmed a trailer for our two most tolerable characters on the show.
Which will feature kaiju movie veteran Tiffany Grant.
Yeah, Tiffany. Like, not only did Tiffany Grant show up to help, but she also offered to do extra lines, and she loved the script.
Yeah. I was really proud because I wrote this little script for like a old like 50s, 60s style kaiju movie trailer, and sure enough. When I hear from Tiffany, she not only tells me how much she loves it, but she actually sent it to her husband, Matt Greenfield, the founder of ADV Films, because she thought it was so funny. So it was a big ego boost for me. I'm not going to lie.
And she loved it. And I can't wait to see the actual video where she yells, the poppies. The poppies. It was my favorite line of that of the week. But no,
I really hope it sounds better when she says it.
It's hilarious. I can't mimic her voice on it. Like, I can't even come close. Like, she just knocked it out of the park on that. But the rest of the convention, it was pretty good. I was helping a lot with No Brand stuff as well as getting things put together for Otaku Tonight stuff and helping out X Geek and all that. But there was a lot of people at this convention. There was about, I think they had 2,200.
That's for their attendance.
Yeah. Oh, Raina, my fiance won an award in the cosplay contest. That was pretty freaking awesome.
Was it second place?
Say, second place in the novice category.
I thought. Novice, yeah. See, I knew that. I didn't even go, and I knew that.
I knew it was second place. Something I would have put
terrible friend.
I wouldn't have put her at beginner. I was about to say intermediate.
Nick,
because that costume was like way better than beginner.
Nick, you and I should run away together. Leave her behind.
We
could run across the nation hosting cosplay contests.
That would be fun.
Yeah, that's the other... That was like a couple of the problems, speaking of that, at the convention. I guess the MCs at the cosplay contest were not great.
They were kind of bland. I don't like cosplay intermissions, though, which is... I'm going to fully admit that those kind of bug me.
Wasn't it the guy that, like, stole our Whose Line Is It Anime shtick?
You know, I'm not sure who actually the host was. One of them was the con director who. I mean, it wasn't even like he was really bad. It just wasn't my favorite part. Like the MCs lacked a little bit of something.
Accuracy.
But I mean, nothing. It was mostly just the intermission that was weird because they like had a guy come out dressed as Mayes Hughes to show off his daughter in a costume, and I guess that was kind of cute, but that overstayed its welcome for me.
Did they kill him?
No, they set it up as if they were going to have a memorial for Hughes being dead. Then a guy came out dressed as Hughes, so that didn't make sense. And then he showed off his daughter.
It would have been great if they shot him. That would make perfect sense.
And he can die alone in a phone booth.
Someone should have brought out a phone booth.
It's possible they're all
actually,
over
Doubleton, right? Actually, I would have brought out a phone booth and chased him off stage with it. Then it would have been a great bit.
That would have been pretty funny, yeah. But other than that, I mean, it was a good weekend. The vendor room, there wasn't a whole lot of variety in the vendor room, I thought. I always try and get a plush for my daughter when I go to conventions, and there wasn't really a whole lot offered in the vendor room this year.
Yeah, the only thing that really stuck out was I found I did get a hold of a statuette of the main character from Gundam Unicorn. And just finding anything from 80s, well, or 80s or 80s style Gundam is hard these days. So that was kind of neat, but yeah.
Mostly Apple or Kitsune Con is a convention that I go to really hang out with friends.
So. I think Kitsune is one of the, I really have fun at that con. I've never had a bad time at Kitsune, to be perfectly honest.
There's just so much to do. I mean, even if you're not on con grounds, I mean, downtown Appleton, there's plenty to do there. I mean, they have these cool little neat shops all over downtown, and it's just a cool city, I think, to be in, have a convention.
I wish I would have gone to more of the panels. I sat in on one that Scott Paper Cosplay was doing, and that was really good, but I wish I would have seen more panels, because they always have a pretty solid con. I've never had a bad experience there.
The one panel I did manage to go to was the 18-plus Whose Line Is It anime. Had nothing to do with, by the way.
For the listeners at home who have not seen Otaku Tonight at a con, because we have some non-locals, you know.
Right.
Who listen. Fur and Nick, well, first off, do something called Otaku Tonight. And they do a bunch of different panels, including one called Whose Line Is It Anime?
Which was, from what we can tell, started by one of our staff writers, Sydney, Velociraptor, and our good friend Alhan. Back in the middle times of No Brand Con, it was something that they came up with and started. They graciously let Otaku Tonight Productions use the name for our stuff. And Sydney's still heavily involved in it. She's one of our main performers. I was pretty shocked to find out that Whose Line Is It Anime was going to be at Kitsune Con when I was contacted by one of our fans. Who said, I'm really excited to see you guys do Whose Line Is It Anime at Kitsune-Con, to which I responded with, that's weird because I didn't know we were doing Whose Line Is It Anime at Kitsune-Con.
Yeah.
Turns out it was just this guy who, I'm not going to name his name because I don't want to start anything, that submitted it, and I went to check it out. And what it was 30 to 45 minutes of him collecting audience suggestions for things, and then an hour of him acting those things out.
Just him?
He had a couple of audience members helping out, but he didn't have a team of people like we do actually performing the scenes.
See, comedy sports is, I mean, it's, there's a reason improv is called comedy sports. It does take practice. It takes... you know, it takes a little bit more than just, I enjoy telling jokes.
Do you mean there's a reason comedy sports named themselves comedy sports? Because improv is improv. Comedy sports is a particular brand and network of improvisational performers.
Pardon me.
Yes, that thing.
but improvisational comedy does take practice. It takes...
Yes.
It takes some... I used to be involved in some sports. Yeah.
But you can't just pull people from the audience and say, act, be funny. Because 9 times out of 10, whoever you pull from the audience is going to have no idea what to do.
I was about to say, you can do it, but yeah, because nine times out of ten, they won't know what to do. It's awkward.
So, that was just a weird thing for the weekend that kind of bugged me probably a little bit more than it should have. But other than that, KitsuneCon was a lot of fun. Shout out to Tom the bartender at both the Intermezzo and the... I totally don't remember the other pub that was there.
I knew this was all about drinking.
I also shout out to all of my Mecca people from Tumblr who I got to meet in person.
Yeah, we got to meet some of our Tumblr like mutual followers there.
That was cool.
It was.
Which also led to me being Robot Socrates for a little bit. Because I didn't notice the
group of people that you had gathered around you.
Yeah, I just stood in the lobby talking about giant robot anime, and like a crowd started forming around me.
It was kind of awesome. It was Nick's Sermon on the Mount.
Sermon on the Mecca?
Something like that. But no,
KitsuneCon was... to find a good pun with that.
Yeah, it really is. But KitsuneCon was good. We're definitely going to be back next year because it's always a lot of fun. We always see cool people there. And despite the sometimes tough crowd that we have at our shows, they still genuinely, we still gather a crowd for it. So
neat.
Great time, KitsuneCon.
Yeah.
I still have yet to ever go.
It's a good time, Trey. You should make it up next year.
It really is worth it. I think it's one of the better cons.
Money. Things. Yeah. So many cons in a calendar.
Speaking of money,
good segue.
Yeah, I know. I ended up being brought along for selling things for the store anime club over at KuroshiCon, which was this little one-day con at Northern Illinois University.
And I almost went to this con, and I decided last minute that like I couldn't do 2 one-day cons in a weekend. And we'll talk about the other one I did.
I should have mentioned it to you, Trey. I'm sorry. It was really fun. I would be so dead right now
if I had done both.
Maybe it's for the better then.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun. I mean, I spent most of it standing behind the booth selling things. They had a nice little setup. There was a nice vendor area. There were a couple of panel rooms that looked like some pretty decent panels. There was some cosplay, a lot of beginner cosplayers, it's always actually kind of cool meeting beginner cosplayers because, they are not jaded and they don't have egos yet. So yes. They're kind of the best.
The opposite of me.
It was really, really kind of fun. I even ran into a couple of my fans, which was strange, but they not only bought things, but they also just stuck around and listened to me tell stories about Daisho for a while, so that was cool. Like the weird stories of how we got the webcomicer Mr. Lovenstein to show up as a guest at our con, because I didn't realize that he was my friend for 2 years before knowing he wrote a comic.
Well, it's because you're a terrible friend. Fur, you and I should go run away together and host throughout the Midwest.
and we can host cosplay contests. Yeah, I know, it'll be great.
KuroshiCon was really solid, though. It's a pretty neat event. My only problem, per se, was they decided to put a loudspeaker, I guess like a PA system in there. And someone was, the person running the video game tournaments was constantly, constantly asking for where the contestants were. And you could hear it through the whole thing. And I swear, 3 times out of 4, it was, is Frank here? Is Frank here? And then 5 minutes later, it would be, all right, I need someone else to step in for Frank.
You know, I've done cons that are like that, where the loudspeaker, some bozo with the microphone feels the need to make some announcement that anyone with the program guide could have seen, or like the things.
And microphones give you power, Trey.
I will say, it's the most irritating thing when you're like a vendor and you're trying to sell to someone, and you're trying to talk when suddenly, just a reminder,
that the cosplay contest starts in 20 minutes.
Yeah, that was exactly, that was the only real problem I had was that.
Neat.
It was another stupid fun event, though. Yeah, I really...
Well, you gotta love little one-day cons like that. They're just neat. I think I'm gonna have to go next year.
In the next couple of years, I want to try and get down to a couple of one-day cons, too. We'll see. If I can save up some money.
There's a really fun one in Milwaukee over January.
Oh, is it that...
Nozomi-Con. Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, it's at the MIAD, the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design.
I think I was up there. I was thinking I was down there that weekend that was going on.
I was at that con.
Yeah, I think we were like in the same city for a brief moment, Trey.
Son of a bitch.
There was
you're a terrible friend, Nick. We're doing the cosplay contest now. Anyways,
there's another cute little con that I wish I could go back to, but it always seems to be scheduled on weekends when I'm busy. And in Stevens Point, called EgoCon.
Yeah.
And they always bring in this guy who has a full functioning Dalek, and that's really cool.
Yeah, there's a little one that I did a few years ago. I'm not doing it this year, but I did it a few years ago, called Capicon, and it merged with Consinity, which is another one-day con that's at MSOE in downtown Milwaukee. And I think that's April 4th this year. And I had a lot of fun when I went there before the merger, when I went to just Capicon, when it was held at one of the high schools. And that show was really fun, too. So, you know, there are lots of one-day shows that you could go to that could even aid the rest of your life by taking you places that you want to be otherwise.
I believe it.
But do you have anything more about KuroshiKon, Nick?
No, it was before just fun.
Before I grab and talk about the one-day con, I did today! As in, I got back from several hours ago and then took a nap. And then almost slept through the beginning of when we were supposed to record Nerd and Tie.
Yeah, thankfully I woke him up.
Yeah, it's, today on something today, I did the Independent Small Publishers Show, which is it's a really, really interesting show that's kind of unlike any other con that I've done, in that it was dedicated to webcomics and independent comics exclusively. So the whole show was webcomic artists and independent comic artists. It's, for those of you who don't give a crap about what I do outside of Nerd and Tie, I write a couple of webcomics. So I was there, and a lot of actually a really interesting cross section, and it was only like a couple hundred attendees, like I think maybe 300 people showed up, but they were all very, like, it was a very select group of people who were very interested in the subject matter. And so it was a really small show. It only had like four panels throughout the day, which is kind of amazingly like nothing in my head, but I can't really blame the con for only having, you know, a limited number of people submit panels to them.
Especially a one-day con.
Yeah, yeah, but, like, it was literally just the panel track and then the vendor room, which was not really a regular vendor room so much as a giant dedicated artist alley where no one's selling prints of Deadpool. look,
is that even possible?
That's weird.
People sell Deadpool. What? Okay, as a person who's been in Artist Alley, it's you always know as the guy making the original comic that you are never going to sell as much as the people who sell pictures they drew of Deadpool and pictures they drew of Sailor Moon and other popular characters. And this is nothing wrong with the people who do sell those things. It's just that customers at a larger anime con, things like that, they want to buy what's familiar to them, and if you write a comic they've never heard of, they don't care about you. They want to care about the things that they're already into. And so that's
I'd say, if someone engaged to someone who draws Sailor Moon and sells pictures of her...
No, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's, as a person who does an independent comic, it's kind of this amazing, weird world when every single person who comes up to your table is interested in finding out about your comic and because they came to a show full of independent comics.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it was a really, really, I met a lot of like cool people. It's, you know, all local Indiana people for me. And so it's, got to talk with a lot of other local artists and, it's kind of an interesting comic scene down here. So that was awesome. Very awesome.
So do you recommend all positivity it? On the con front. Lots of fun.
Well, yeah. You know, like I said, it's the middle of spring con season. I mean, we've still got a whole bunch of cons. I think ASEN pretty much closes that out for the Midwest in the middle of May.
Yeah, and all three of us in a few weeks, in 4 weeks?
Right? Yeah, 4 weeks.
Wow, that's like...
That's coming up. And exactly from this point, let's see, seven... In a, yeah, 28 days.
Yeah, we are going to be at all three of us are going to be at No Brain Con in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and I just got confirmation that we have our spot for doing Nerd and Tie Live.
Oh, in the No Mercy Room?
Yep.
Awesome. We'll see you all there at 10:30 o'clock at night on Friday.
And that's going to be an 18-plus room, so
we can't
really do anything different than what we do, guys.
No,
we're putting it up on the same website. But we could.
We have a chance to.
We don't.
You know, it's a live show.
We don't have to wear pants.
It's a live show. I could slip a nipple.
Exactly. It's 18.
Yeah. I could. Yeah, I know. It'll be great.
And also, I heard these two guys are hosting the cosplay contest.
Yeah. Who are they again?
Well, right now it's me and you.
Oh. Oh. What?
Well, remember, because we've kicked fur out of the nest, right?
Right.
Right.
Take that.
You thought this bit was going nowhere.
Hey, you know what? I I would be there helping too, but I'm also the guest head that weekend.
Yeah, sucker. So
I'll be having dinner with Eric Stewart, Daryl Gilboa, Katie Tiedrick, and Samurai Dan and Jillian.
And I will be with Nick. I think I win.
Yes.
Is Nick giving you sushi? I don't
I don't know. I could make sushi.
He could bring
it won't
sushi.
Be good, but I'll try.
No, so we could go out and get some, you know, get some sushi beforehand.
That's true.
And then eat it on stage during the cosplay contest.
Which would be awkward and awesome.
I expect a phone call during the contest, by the way.
Only if we run out of things to talk about. But
we'll be at No Brand Con. Everybody should come see us. It'll be good.
Yeah. In Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
April 25th through the 27th.
My first con.
Well, not my first con, but I co-founded it. I'm not really on staff anymore, but I co-founded it. And Fur works there currently.
I do.
Like a sucker.
Oh, you know.
Speaking of suckers.
That's...
What? Where is this even gonna? Oh,
hold on.
I'm interested to see where this segue goes, Nick. Let him take it.
Okay.
Speaking of suckers, a independent video game company, along with legendary basketball player Shaquille O'Neal, have decided that they want to try to crowdfund a sequel to Shaq Fu. Okay, so I know this is a few weeks old, but I wanted to finally talk about it because I wanted to wait until I saw how the Kickstarter was actually doing. And there's still 21 days left at it, but out of the they're trying to raise $450,000 to make.
Yeah, how's
the
game. That going for them?
They're at $124,000.
How much of that is your money?
None of it. None of it. And I will tell you why in a minute. But they want to make a sequel to Shaq Fu called Shaq Fu, A Legend Reborn. Because we all know that the world wanted more Shaq Fu by the fact that the websites that are dedicated, most of the websites dedicated to it are dedicated to destroying Shaq Fu cartridges. Shaq Fu, for those who don't know, is a terrible fighting game released for the Sega Genesis, the Super Nintendo, the Game Gear, the Game Boy, and the Amiga. And I have all five versions. Because a friend of mine kept giving them to me after I bought one of them. I bought the Genesis version because it was like nothing. He then gifted me all the other ones, including a Game Gear and a Game Boy, so I could play those versions. He did not give me an Amiga.
Some friend.
Yeah, right?
But I do have the Amiga.
He's a terrible friend. Nick, we should run off together.
And run cosplay contests? Sounds
yeah!
Good.
Well, tough, because you can't for...
Oh.
But anyways, so the game is a Okay, so actually, amazingly, and I'm going to get really weird here, the Genesis and the Game Boy versions of the game are not awful. I didn't say good. Did I say good? No. I said not awful. I
never said you said it was good.
Well, I'm just being
clear. Why are you getting so defensive, Trey?
Because the Super Nintendo version, which is the most common version of this game, is an abortion of pixels that...
wow.
Yeah, no, it's that bad. But the game is full of ridiculous dialogue, a pinch of racism, and actually a whole handful of racism, too. And, yeah, no, I'm it's... So, they want to make another Shaq Fu game. Only, it's not my proposed sequel, Fu 2, A World Without Shaq. No, this one would actually still have Shaq in it. But, yeah, no, so their crowdsource doesn't look like it's anywhere there. I may have a section of my website dedicated to Shaq Fu, which was at one point linked by Penny Arcade. Back when I thought Penny Arcade was cool. But yeah, oh my god. Who in their right mind says, I need more of this? And this is coming from the one guy who wrote anything positive about it ever.
I'm just kind of dumbfounded by this entire thing.
That's kind of how I'm feeling right now.
But you know, I always liked the name of Shaq Fu. That's about it.
Well, he did also release an album with that title.
Oh.
Because remember Shaq's rap career?
I just remember his movie career. Does anybody else remember Shazam?
What about God. Steel?
Or whatever it was called. What was that movie called?
Is Shazam. No, it was Shazam. Had nothing to do with Captain Marvel. Which I'm sure was Billy Batson is thankful for.
No, that wasn't Shazam. It was
totally Shazam.
I'm Googling this right now.
Shaq movie. Kazam. That's
Kazam,
what it
was. Kazam, suck it, Nick.
Oh, wow.
He was also in Steel.
Yeah, I just said that like five minutes ago.
Well, I wasn't really paying attention.
Which is the DC Comics character as an adaptation of
Steel. Yeah, so that was tangentially really.
Good Lord.
You know, the weird thing is the Steel movie was still somewhat more coherent than the Death and Return of Superman. I would argue that.
I don't recognize any of the other names of the people in this movie.
There's a reason for that, Nick.
Yeah, I don't think any of them
ever
went
back to anything. Why did I just call you Nick?
Yeah.
I'm a terrible friend. I'm going to have to not host any cosplay contest. Crap.
None of these actors have done anything.
The idea of this movie is... The idea of this game is breaking us. We don't even know what's going on anymore.
No,
let's find refuge elsewhere in an adaptation of the DC universe, Nick.
Okay, that sounds good. So a while back, you guys might remember we were talking about Gotham, the new TV series set in the Batman universe that will now, I guess, be covering young Bruce Wayne, which confuses everyone.
Yeah.
To be fair, the photos that we've seen imply that it isn't going to be as much high school baloney.
Yeah, hopefully. That's the
Saved by the Bell of Sutton Gotham.
Only good if Bruce Wayne had Zach Morris's phone.
Oh my God. But yeah,
time out, and then talk to the camera.
The good news is we've got some promo pictures of some of the actors. Bruce is not one of the people we've seen yet. But we've got a look at Ben McKenzie as Jim Gordon.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, he's Ben McKenzie in a suit. We got to look at Harvey Bullock.
Bullock. Isn't that, is that Donald Logue playing Bullock?
I think so, yeah.
That's actually, that is such perfect casting.
And this answers, I remember, Trey, you brought this up when we first talked about Gotham. Would they use any of the established characters or not because of, like, rights issues and all that? But it looks like they're going there. We've got Bullock Pictures.
And we've got Renee Montoya Pictures.
I actually did not find those when I pulled these up, but yeah.
Yeah, no, we've got Renee Montoya Pictures, although it looks like she's about to, like, Jim Gordon and Renee Montoya are really in each other's faces in the picture I've seen, and I really hope that they're not building any sort of tension there, because that would be wrong, considering Renee Montoya's romantic history in the comics.
But I'm excited about their casting as Robin Lord Taylor as Cobblepot. Like, holy hell.
I don't know how I feel about him yet. I don't know how I feel about the Penguin in his youth just being a skeezy-looking skinny guy.
But here's the thing. You know what? If you saw me 10 years ago, I was not the big fat guy that I am now. So if I had been short...
Yeah.
We know what Selena Kyle will look like.
I'm okay with her.
We've seen Selena Kyle. She reminds me of, she looks like she could grow up into Michelle Pfeiffer to me, so I think that it's interesting synchronicity in casting.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
And then the weirdest one in terms of just the looks of the person, Third Doctor's son, Sean Pertwee.
Yeah, he looks just like Alfred his dad.
Oh my god, does he look like his father?
Right, it's a little scary, actually. I don't...
Yeah,
I saw the picture and I hadn't read the name yet, and I was like, well, that looks like Pertwee. Oh, it is a Pertwee.
Honestly, if they wanted to have the Third Doctor appear in a modern Doctor Who episode, I would be cool with casting his son, because holy cats.
Yeah, he looks bizarrely the same.
It's almost like they're related.
Or there's my theory that John Pertwee actually cloned himself numerous times, and Sean Pertwee just happens to be the...
Well, I want to point out that Sean is just another form of John.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Ooh, this might have to be a Nerd and Tie in-depth look. Did John Pertwee clone himself? It looks like yes.
Yeah, the costumes and stuff look pretty solid. I'm so curious to see where they'll go with this. And
Are they still on that whole kick about them being all in high school?
No. None of these people look like they're in high school, so...
Well, Selena Kyle.
Selena might, yeah.
And we don't know what young Bruce Wayne looks like.
We really shouldn't. He should be off somewhere training.
Yes, he should be at some dojo.
He should be in Nanda Parbat.
He should be off trying to become the best at everything, because he is a Mary Sue.
His parents are dead.
He is best at everything.
Maybe he can be off-screen with Arrow's off-screen Ra's al Ghul. It'll be great.
I like the fact that you pronounce Ra's al Ghul properly.
Thank you.
If you pronounce it Ra's al Ghul, you need to be kicked in the crotch. I'm looking at you.
So the entire cast of the Christopher Nolan movies needs to be kicked in the crotch?
Yes.
Okay.
Especially how they had... Okay, so I actually like Batman Begins a lot, but we had a fake Ra's al Ghul who was Asian, and a real Ra's al Ghul who was Irish. Neither of these is the appropriate race for Ra's al Ghul. Have you noticed that his name is Ra's al Ghul? Even if you think it's Ra's al Ghul, and you're wrong, it's clearly neither of these. Okay. Oh, yes, the al Ghuls from down by the...
It's pretty cool. It's weird that there's the bat signal in the background of the pictures. I'm guessing.
Yeah, I thought that too. Oh.
Well, clearly Thomas Wayne
was Batman.
Yes.
Thomas Wayne is only Batman in an alternate universe where he's angry drunk dad.
This whole thing takes place in a Flashpoint.
Oh God.
Bruce is actually dead, and they're going to reveal that right off the bat. There is no Bruce Wayne.
No. Batman is a time-traveling Damian Wayne. Just to bring in the Ra's al Ghul,
And also to bring in, you know, Sean Pertwee. It's we got it! We figured it out.
That got meta really fast.
We have solved.
We cracked the code. Steaks and whiskey for everyone.
The finest of meats and cheeses for all of my
men. Yes, good work. Yes.
I'm pretty excited, though. I'm really hoping this will be a fun show. The casting looks all right so far. That's not much to go on. But
until we get to see them confirm that teenage Joker is going to be in it, and then we're just like, ah.
It's only okay if he's the Red Hood.
He won't be.
If they had a Red Hood show up, that would be pretty baller, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Because that's who he was. The Joker was a thief called the Red Hood.
They made him dress up in the Red Hood.
It depends on which version of the origin you go with.
I go Killing Joke.
Yeah, but part of the whole point is that it's never really clear what his real origin is. Because he's just telling it in the Killing Joke, isn't he?
No, you're actually getting a flashback.
Oh, well, screw
he's
that.
He's not actually telling it.
No, it's
flashing back and forth.
And besides, it's with the new 52.
Nothing matters anymore.
Exactly.
Continuity, what's that?
Because DC's way to introduce new people is to anger all the old ones while not introducing anyone new to it, too.
It's only sad because it's true.
Batgirl's been pretty good.
Well, to be fair, that's a Gail Simone.
Yeah. Sonya good. I mean, let's just...
Plus, she loves... Plus, we all know Gail Simone is a regular listener anyway.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Friend of the show. For real.
Close personal friend of the show.
Actual real-life friend of the show.
No, we could probably call her...
all the time.
We could probably call her right now and, like, she'd hop on.
She's actually in Nick's basement while we speak.
It's writing.
Yeah. Oh man, if you or anyone you know believes that to be complete bunk, please write to us and tell us that.
nerdandtie.trhonline.com/contact, or just go to nerdandtie.trhonline.com and click on the contact link up top. That'll take you to a form that you can fill out and tell us your thoughts. That was really weird.
That was
so on a slightly more believable note that also relates to pictures, let's go to the Marvel side of things.
Yeah, so we got our first looks at the Avengers set and filming and everything. And it looks pretty cool. We got a few pictures released. I don't remember the photographer that was on set. But we got to get a first look at Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Mm.
We got to see some Hawkeye action going on. And we got to see some pictures of what people believe is Ultron, which is just... Ultron's actor, who I totally can't remember his name right now.
Spader.
Yeah.
Daniel Jackson.
just in a silver top.
He'll be
really.
Played by Michael Shanks in the series. Sorry,
but
Stargate joke.
These are cool looking set pictures. I don't know.
Also, earlier today, we got there were pictures leaked of Chris Evans in a new Captain America costume.
Ooh.
So Cap is vying with Iron Man for most costume changes between these movies, I guess.
Cap has not died yet. Yet.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
And we should probably talk about that after the Ultron stuff.
Yeah, well, because there's a whole bunch of other stuff that just came out about that regarding Captain America 2 as well. And people that have a contract with Marvel...
Okay,
let's talk about Ultron longer before we get to that. There was also a couple weeks ago, in place of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel ran a pretty great show called assembling a universe, which was started out mostly as a walk down memory lane with the filming of the Avengers films up through now. But it closed with a bunch of production images and concept images for Age of Ultron and for Ant-Man, for that matter. And we got to see the set prop and the concept images for the Iron Man Hulkbuster appearing in Age of Ultron. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I know it's an oversized dumb armor that never works, but the Hulkbuster's awesome.
We also got to see some footage, not footage, but some concept art from Guardians of the Galaxy, which made me happy.
Guardians of the Galaxy always makes me happy.
You
know, so phase two is in full swing right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think with the release of Captain America and
Winter Soldier
and the Temple
next.
Of Doom on Friday.
I'm finally stupid excited for that movie.
Every new trailer bit they release, I get more and more excited about. I'm going to be seeing it Friday night, and I can't wait.
All of my concerns are gone.
I am going to wait to see Winter Soldier, only because it's been confirmed it's coming to my local drive-in, but that's not going to open until like a couple weeks after that. So,
I want to see it as early as possible because I hear
that... I'll let you guys talk about it. It's not like that you can spoil the plot for me.
This is true.
I'm just curious because, I mean, like, apparently something in it is going to affect Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. quite a bit, so...
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to see what that revelation will be. And
yeah. Well, it's... Speaking, though, about Captain America, Chris Evans has announced that he wants to retire from acting. He said that he's going to complete all the films he's currently contracted for, but after that, he's going to be done. Which leads me to believe that in Captain America 3...
Death of Captain America.
Yes, and by the end of the movie, you know who I think is going to be wearing the Captain America costume?
My favorite character in the entire
US Agent,
Marvel Universe?
That's right, US Agent.
What? No!
Nick didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, you know, the Russo brothers have said they do want to work in crazy 1950s Cap, though. Ooh. Which would be ridiculous fun. Although the political implications of him would make that a really interesting movie to explain to some people. Yeah.
Yeah. Racism. Yo.
Marvel's going
to
be good,
contrary
though.
Contrary to popular belief, Captain America tends to sit center-left-ish on most issues.
Well, yeah. Because he's the good guy. half our listeners just shot me. They also happen to be the only armed listeners.
Yeah, you know.
Damn it, Trey.
Oh...
Nerd and Tie does not endorse any political party or political action committee.
Well, I do.
Well, Trey does, but we as a... Anyway. Hey, don't blame me. I voted for Robot Nixon.
It is worth mentioning, though, that Sebastian Stan has a contract for 9 movies, so...
Yep, that was what I was going to mention, actually, but I was going to be like, oh, I'll hold off on that until...
And he's going to play the Mad Hatter in all of them.
Which will be weird, but, you know, I think they could do a pretty good introduction movie to get him into the Avengers.
All I'm saying is that, you know, why hasn't Once Upon a Time crossed over with the Marvel Universe?
Oh, man. Oh, man. The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are sent to Storybrooke.
Yes!
And,
well, Once Upon a Time already kind of takes place in the Lost Universe, too. Potentially, so, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. go to the island.
Perfect. Make it happen.
I want to see this. If you would like to draw some fan art of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. either being sent to Storybrooke or being sent to the island, but not the Michael Bay movie, the one from Lost. Although, if you want to draw Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. being sent to the island, the Michael Bay movie, go to nerdandtie.com. If you can combine all of these ideas by combining Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the island, and the island from Lost, and Once Upon a Time, your fan art could appear on nerdandtie.trhonline.com, where a whole five people might see it because all of our listeners subscribe to the feed and don't actually go to the website.
Rob, we might put it on the Facebook page too then.
Yeah, we could do that.
We'll think about it if we're motivated.
Yeah, so send it to us or submit it to us or put it on Tumblr and then contact us through the contact form on our site. And tell us where it is.
Well,
or don't. Just always share it with your friends. Just be like, screw those guys. I'm just going to put it everywhere, but not tell them.
Well, on that weird note, I think it's time we transition again.
Is it?
Do we have more to talk about Ultron?
No, I was just curious.
Oh, okay. But Age of Ultron, looking awesome. Captain America 2, can't wait. Trey has to wait, though, because he wants to go to the drive-in.
And there will be popcorn, and there will be corn dogs, and there will be funnel cake.
I won't have funnel cake.
I will.
I'll just have my favorite character in all of the Marvel Universe on screen again.
Have funnel cake and cotton candy and Nick's favorite character from the Marvel Universe, who I always thought was just okay. And you ever read that U.S. Agent where he like got hung in front of his parents, but his knuck muscles were so strong he didn't actually die, but his dad had a heart attack because he freaked out?
I don't like U.S. Agent.
Oh, MODOK. Anyways, what's that MODAM in that issue? Damn, I forget.
All right, moving on.
Moving on. Do what you want to do.
Transition from that. You know what? Screw it. A couple weeks ago, at some ungodly hour of the morning, Bandai Entertainment and Sotsu Agency Sunrise did a press conference that they actually live streamed all over the world so that everybody could see it. So I guess in Japan it was at a regular hour, but for everyone else it was at an ungodly hour in the morning.
And everyone else it was fuck you 2 o'clock.
Honestly, yes. I know people who stayed up for it. I was not one of them. I have to work 9 hours a day, but they held a big press conference for the Mobile Suit Gundam franchise, which is turning 35 now, which is pretty amazing for an anime about giant robots and war.
That's 2 years older than me.
God, you're old.
I'm younger than Gundam. It's okay.
Can you get a t-shirt that says that? I'm younger than Gundam, it's okay. So,
I will wear one if you make one for me. I'm a 2XL.
I'll see what I can do. But this press conference was pretty cool in that they had three... it wasn't just like... I was expecting when they first announced that it was just going to be like a press conference where they were going to be like, well, we have this new show we're making, and here are some character designs. No, they actually had three trailers for three projects that they're working on, and then they announced one other project that's completely batshit insane. But the first trailer, they did one for Gundam Unicorn, which is coming to an end in a couple months now. And that was of course, exciting. That's going to be an hour and a half long episode. They had a trailer for Gundam The Origin, which... everyone was expecting was going to be based on the comic book Gundam The Origin and would be a remake of the original series. But it looks like it's going to just cover the flashback portions of the comic, which would be material that we've never seen animated before.
Wolverine at the Manor House. And
There's going to be Manor Houses. You get to see the formative years of Shar Aznable, like before he had a pink robot and stuff. So that should be interesting. Then they also got, they have one other movie, being directed by, or actually a series of movies being directed by the original creator of Gundam, Yoshiyuki Tomino. He's back involved, called Mobile Suit Gundam The Reconquista of G. Some of you might be thinking...
What language is that?
It's funny you'd mention that. Tomino himself explained it in this nonsensical way. He wanted to call it Reconquest or Reconquista. But Conquista doesn't sound as strong as a G sound would, so he made up the word Reconquista. Wow. I'm not even kidding.
Wow.
Yeah. Tomino's a strange man.
That's why we're changing the name of Nerd and Tie to Textbook Sassy Pants Discovery Manual.
I like it. Rolls off the tongue.
That, actually.
If you would like to support this name, Chase, please write to us at Textbook Sassy Pants thing Trey just said.
Discovery Manual.
Discovery Manual at Nerd and Tie or at TRH Online.
No, because that won't go anywhere.
But all of the footage was pretty interesting. I mean, the unicorn stuff. Everyone who knows me, follow the Nick Izumi like page if you want to hear me rant more about that. The stuff for Gundam the Origin looks appropriately depressing since this is going to be an OVA about founding a fascist nation in space. So that'll be nice and sad.
But Nick, I've got a question. Where does Char park his motorcycle?
Well, it's funny you mention that because Char never drives a vehicle in any animated Gundam franchise. He always rides a horse. So in a stable.
Well, but isn't technically a mobile suit a vehicle?
Okay, well, you got me there. So I guess in the hangar of the Musai or the Zanzibar.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, see?
As the restaurant?
There's an actual answer for those ones.
But why is he so sad all the time? Could it be because of his conscience?
You know what? I'm going to answer where Kikaider parks his motorcycle on the Facebook page after this. I'll take care of that.
Kikaider, where do you park your motorcycle? Kikaider, whoa. But
there was one really weird part of this press conference that we need to talk about because it was too freaking weird to not discuss. So after these trailers and Reconquista or whatever the hell it's called, it actually looks pretty fun. I'm going to say the art is bright, flashy, looks really fun. But then they brought out this guy who's like, so a couple of years ago, we made that 18-meter tall, 1-to-1 scale statue of the original Gundam, right?
Yay.
And it's like, yeah, that was cool. Well, then they started talking crazy. They're like, well, now the next step is we want to build a new one that can move. We are bringing in people to build an actual moving Gundam.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
Or by terrible, you mean awesome. I'm all for this. Let me ride it.
I'm just saying, like, either it's going to be really hokey and dumb or someone will die.
That's what I'm like. Everyone was so excited about these new cartoons. I mean, I was too. But at the same time, I read this. I'm like, you guys are like shitting me or something, right?
As an animation studio, we are going to attempt to conquer the world with giant robots. Literally.
We thought
it was a metaphor, but we're doing it for real. Prepare to die.
This is either going to be just the dumbest, like, hokey attraction, or it's... Yeah.
If you wanted to see how fast a Gundam would fall over if it was real... Go to nerdandtie.trhonline.com and click on the contact form.
I support this if only we can get a good solid out of all the robots.
Well,
puny humans.
Yeah, but Gundam doesn't have any sentient robots. They'll just have young children whining.
I was gonna say. Will the appropriate 13-year-old be provided to pilot this device?
Yeah, but only after the actual pilot is killed by friendly fire.
Okay. Like I said, it's either going to be really hokey or someone's going to die.
I'm terrified. Why would you even suggest doing something like this? Hey, our cartoon turned 35. Let's make a real giant robot.
Let's build a real... Let's make a giant killing machine. Because this is a military robot. Are they going to give it a rifle?
Is that even legal in Japan's Defense Force thing? I don't
know. Only if it's less than 1% of their annual budget.
There's no way that it can be.
Well, there's no rules saying about what private citizens and animation companies do.
Yeah, that's true. Not to mention, I'm 90% certain that Douglas MacArthur never put any thought into beam weaponry, so...
I don't know, man. I've heard enough about Douglas MacArthur where he was all over that shit.
So yeah, that was all. It was all fun and games, and I'm all excited for all these new Gundam entries. And for those who don't know, I regularly call anime cartoons. It's not disrespectful. It's just me knowing what it is.
It's almost like anime is just the word for cartoon.
Yeah, I know. Crazy, isn't it?
Wow.
Weird.
But if we fetishize Japanese words enough, they can have whole new meanings that they're not supposed to.
Really?
Yeah, like otaku.
It just worked for the show name.
Oh, well. Expect to hear hopefully positive things about all these new Gundam cartoons coming out. And
but
pray to God no one dies making this.
But Nick, I have a question.
Okay.
Where does Kickhider park his Gundam?
Oh, come on.
Too many robots inside of robots and we'll just have Gurren Lagann.
Because Kickhider's important because the blue half is the good half, the red half is the bad, and then the yellow just stands for yellow.
It stands for that time he peed.
Yeah. That's why it's all over him in random spots.
It breaks up the monotony of the color scheme. Also, there was a new trailer for the Kikaider reboot, and it looks awesome.
Speaking of new trailers.
Yeah, ooh.
You know what we got was a new trailer for the Ninja Turtles movie.
Directed by Michael Bay.
Not directed by Michael Bay.
Produced by Michael Bay.
Michael Bay, directed by a human being. With a soul and everything. We don't know if it'll be good, but it won't be directed by Michael Bay, which is going to make all of our lives better, more complete, and explode with random colors. We got to see the new turtle designs in action and moving around, which was cool. It looks like they were formed from some sort of ooze, which is good.
They talk about pizza.
Yeah, and I will say, okay, so the end of the trailer in which Michelangelo tries to reassure a shocked April O'Neil that it's just a mask and removes his mask and he's, you know, his kind of terrifying looking turtle head underneath it made me laugh out loud quite hard.
It was a good trailer. It made me kind of not excited for the movie, but it made me like, oh, I could see this and I'd be okay with it probably.
Well, you know, it's funny because like I've seen a bunch of people harping about how, oh, it's ruining the origin of the turtles, but I'm just going like,
oh no.
Here's the thing. You know what ruined the origin of the turtles and ruined Ninja Turtles forever? That terrible cartoon series. I mean, for one, Master Splinter is not Hamato Yoshi. Master Splinter was the pet of Hamato Yoshi. Okay, and anything like that completely alters the history of the character and makes no sense. And what's with making April O'Neil a newspaper, like a news reporter? She was a computer programmer who worked for Baxter Stockman, who is a black man, by the way. The whitewashing of Baxter Stockman will not go forgotten. Oh, wait, will go forgotten.
Hold on a second. Time out a second. I do have to stop your like stereotypical nerd voice because you're complaining about whitewashing, and that's something that's never happens in that nerd voice.
I'm sorry, yeah. It's
that's true.
I apologize. I was not stupid enough while I was doing my nerd voice.
Yeah, just take a moment to let it sink in. that people have already been complaining about how the turtles look. It's like, oh, they're so ugly and green. The Ninja Turtles have always been ugly, green, and gross.
And turtles.
That's the whole point. But that's why I'm like, anybody who's complaining about the origin changes, but then, like, came to it through the cartoon series, shut up! Shut up! Your favorite version of the characters is the altered version, so if someone else makes a new version with different changes to it, get over it. You already worship the corrupted version, it's not a big deal that it's different. The original is still there.
To quote one of my favorite video reviewers, who I often quote, but I'll bring him up again, Movie Bob, if as many people read the original Underground Turtles comics back when they were coming out as they claim to today, it wouldn't have been an underground comic.
Yeah, no. I didn't read the original copies. I have read some in reprinted form.
Right.
Many years after it was big and famous.
But I'm talking about the people who were like, oh yeah, I was there, ground level. They were like, nothing.
Yeah, fuck them. Sorry.
No, but I love that anytime we get one of these reboot trailers, immediately it's like all this nerd rage. It's not like the Ninja Turtles were like some sacrosanct nerd thing to begin with.
They were a dark satire mocking. Okay, Splinter is a direct reference and satire of Stick from Daredevil. The entire Teenage Mutant Ninja stuff is like the teenage and mutant is actually meant to be part of a X-Men parody, hence why Raphael is pretty much Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
And then ninjas, because ninjas were very popular, and then turtles, because it was the most ridiculous thing they could think of.
The whole changing origin thing really bothers me, because we actually saw the same thing with when the full-length Godzilla trailer got released. There were people complaining, oh no, they've changed the origin of Godzilla. How dare they? Americans just don't get it.
Changed like Godzilla, 3 times.
I don't say. Yeah, I can think of a dozen different about Godzilla origins. Don't forget Godzilla as the angry Shinto deity in Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah.
Don't forget the iguana. No, I'm sorry, that's just Zilla.
but really, like, just because origins of these characters get changed all the time, if you just always did the same thing and stuck religiously to the source material, you can get a good product, but sometimes it means it's just repeating the same thing over and over again, and what's the point at that point?
Updated special effects. And that's when you get special editions.
Yeah,
exactly. Do you really want Jar Jar Binks? No, you don't.
Because I love special editions.
You actually, I didn't mind the special editions of the original trilogy. I thought the musical number at Jabba's was kind of dumb, and I thought Greedo shooting it all was stupid. But you know, overall, I couldn't care enough.
Actually, honestly, when I complain about special editions, I'm more complaining about the 2001 DVD release of the Mobile Suit Gundam movies. Because they chopped up the soundtrack and replaced a bunch of the music, and it just drives me up the wall, and I hate it.
Well, you should watch one of my dubs, then.
You just incoherently scream over all the characters?
No, it's where I incoherently scream over the entire thing. It's the theme song ends, and incoherent screaming begins on a loop. I've edited it. So the scream never technically begins or ends. It just continues. Secondary screams kicking in.
I'm not even talking about a dub, though. This was like the Japanese release. They wouldn't even release the original version on DVD.
Oh, and all the background music is replaced with Sandstorm. Here, you do Sandstorm, I'll do the incoherent screaming. Kill a Kill, coming out June 2014.
But you know, with the whole Ninja Turtle thing, I've just seen the weirdest. As soon as it was announced that Michael Bay was involved, it's just been, and I can't believe I'm defending something Michael Bay is involved with. I feel dirty.
Bad Boys 2 is entertaining.
But, like, there's this automatic, like, hate for it.
The worst film ever made. There's a spectrum of Michael Bay from entertaining to the most putrid, awful film I've ever seen, Pain and Gain. So, all you have to do is figure out when, if Michael Bay was directing, you just hope towards the Bad Boys 2 end of the spectrum. But he's not even directing.
But the other weird thing is this, like, all the complaints I'm seeing are, like, really superficial things. Yeah, like, the fact that it's not following the 80s cartoon. Okay. Yeah, that's weird. Or I've even seen one site that was like, well, they look more like samurai than ninjas.
Leo's always been samurai themed. Mm-hmm. I have a samurai Leonardo toy. Or did they not also see Ninja Turtles 3 and take that back. No one should have seen Ninja Turtles 3.
They did cross over with Usagi Yojimbo a couple times, though.
Yes, so. They did. Yes, they did. I get the feeling that the people who complain, this is just exactly like what happened with the first Transformers movie. Because as much as like there are issues with the sequels, the first Transformers movie was decent. And all these people jumped up that Optimus Prime was a long nose cab, like in his truck form. Like, that's never happened except for the like 3 TV series and like the best toys ever. The best Optimus Prime toy ever to come out was a long nose cab with flames on its nose. That's Laser Optimus Prime.
Who we continuously find excuses to talk about because he's such a great toy.
Right.
I think this is the thing that we talk about most on this show, but, and I just kind of sit back and let Nick and Trey do their thing.
But my point is that people complaining have rosy-colored memories about a specific incarnation, unaware that there has been ongoing productions of these franchises in the meanwhile, like the fact that there's been at least, I think now, 3 different Ninja Turtles TV shows,
mm-hmm.
Not including, you know, and, you know, there was a whole other movie franchise that existed that had 4 movies in it.
The current IDW comic books. Yeah. There's the
Archie comics that were followed the cartoon continuity for a while in the 90s. There's a lot of stuff. But the weirdest part about the Ninja Turtles complaints is that people are hearkening back to the adaptation the creators of Ninja Turtles disliked. Eastman and Laird did not like the cartoon. I think it was Eastman who said, the only good thing that ever came out of the cartoon series was that we gave them different colored headbands. Because it makes them easier to tell, because they were all originally all red.
Yeah, right.
For people to hold on to, if the version for them to hold on to was the version that the creators didn't like, which is why you take a look at the movie franchise was the personalities were much more in line with the comics, especially Raphael.
Wasn't the live action movie was kind of the first one, at least, was felt like it was that kind of happy middle ground between the original comic and the cartoon, kind of.
Yeah, and it restored Splinter's origin. Casey Jones went back to his original personality. April O'Neil, while still a reporter, had an antique shop.
I love that movie, incidentally.
I watched it every day as a kid. When I was in grade school one summer, I watched it every single point, to the point that I know the Pizza Hut commercial by heart that is on my VHS tape beforehand, and that I can do on the half shell that the heroes for in this day and age, who could ask for more? Crime wave is high with mug gangs mysterious, all police and detectives are furious because they can't find the source of this lethally evil force. I know TORTLE power by heart.
Wow.
Because I watched it.
I can't say no that. I went back and watched the DVD recently and I forgot how great the costumes looked. And
that, and my wife and I got together while watching Ninja that movie.
Oh.
Yeah. Cool. With Cavsey asleep on the couch behind us. Which is weird. Cavsey really...
You still
really
think Cavsey
on home.
Dates with you guys? Like... I bet I need to be down for it. Give him a call sometime.
I will say, the one part... Okay, so I was at that con today in Indianapolis, and there's this guy there who looked like Cavsey out of the corner of my eye, because we all know that everybody at conventions all looks the same.
Right.
And it kept freaking me out, because I kept thinking I saw Cavsey. For the listeners at home who don't know who Cavsey is, he's a guy. We know him. He's unique. But the fact is, there's like it just kept freaking me out. I kept thinking I saw him. Anyways, we should move on.
To our mailbag.
To the mailbag!
We have mailbag. Our first
there's
letter.
Things in it again.
There are things. That, if you would like to have one of those things in the mailbag, just go to nerdandtie.trhonline.com and click on the contact form and contact us, and we might read your letter on the air like we're doing right now.
Because
our first
like
letter
from
comes from Langland with subject line, The Avengers. Langland writes, okay, so you guys have been discussing this for a while. So we are all well aware of the whole Avengers series movies.
Yes.
There's all sorts of movies tying into this.
Yes.
So I can't help but wonder, when all these movies are all made, will there be a huge DVD box set with all these movies? I ask this because Star Wars and The Lord of the Rings have done this.
There
are many trilogies available. In fact, I recently saw you can get all three of the three flavors out of a trilogy for $25 about on Walmart's website. So if the Avengers series comes in a box set, and I want to say when, how much is it going to cost? Tell me your thoughts, opinions, and logic on this.
Okay, so they already have it. It's okay, so Marvel's just dividing it by phase.
Yep.
The phase one box set is available. It comes in a reproduction of Nick Fury's briefcase.
And it has the Tesseract. Oh, no, wait, the Tesseract thing doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's you can buy it. Look on Amazon. The price keeps varying week to week. And then they'll probably do a similar box set for all the movies in phase two. Yeah, so that's what'll happen. It's you're gonna because there's so many films, it would be so expensive to release them all in one giant one. Also, they'd have to know they'd reached to the end. You know, they'd have to know they were done to do a massive one with all of it. So you're just gonna see phase releases.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, well, because we know three phases are going to exist for sure, and who knows, it might go beyond that.
Well, there might be four if some of the contract talks that we've heard about are legit.
And there'll be like seven if Sony and Fox finally release the rights to Spider-Man and the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be cool, but is never going to happen.
Aw, it's true.
Well, at least, you know, at least now we're going to get two different Scarlet Witches and two different Quicksilvers.
Which is confusing.
Yeah, that's going to be weird.
How sad is it that I have more faith in the Quicksilver who can't mention that he's a mutant or related to Magneto than I do with the one who theoretically could?
Because Marvel and Disney have shown that they're able to competently handle things?
Well, okay, Fox has been a mixed bag. The Wolverine, the new Wolverine film was actually good. First Class was good. So the first two were good. The last two have been good. There was a couple of terrible movies in the middle. So
when Days of Future Past comes out in May,
that will be the determining factor.
Yeah,
pretty much.
It could either be awesome or it could be X-Men 3 all over again.
It's looking good though. The trailer looked good. The new trailer they released.
Yeah, no, I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm not unexcited for it. I'm just. I have a little bit more faith in Marvel Studios.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like Sony's done all right with Spider-Man. They only put out, you know, they've put out four movies and only one of them wasn't good.
Also agreed.
It's just really weird to have an Avengers without Spider-Man to me.
Yeah, but Spider-Man wasn't an Avenger for the longest time. It's only recently that he...
Yeah, I guess. You know what it is that you got to remember I'm a child of the 90s. It's, you know, that's when I was reading comics, mostly.
Mm. I don't have an excuse. I just read comics from every spectrum of the gamut because I get curious on where concepts or characters came from, and then sometimes I write 20-page studies on them.
Yeah. So we should move on to our next letter, Nick.
Okay. We got one from the The return of Arkham Eyes.
That's actually welcome back. Done.
Sorry, in all caps. I missed last Fortnite. Hey team, sorry I missed last Fortnite's recording. I have recently moved, and Comcast took a whole extra week to set up my interwebs.
Lies.
I'm pretty sure that part's true.
Local libraries have internet.
Yeah.
I don't know. He was pretty desperate. He was watching the third season of Robotech. I know. He called me.
Phones have internet.
To make up for it, here's a weird...
phone, but Nick's.
Don't make fun of my... The best part of my phone is the Hokkaido keychain, and I'm pretty sure that didn't come with it.
My phone's in a TARDIS case.
Well, anyway, to make up for it, here's a weird yet nerdy question. If you each had a Janestown, see Firefly, where would it be, and what shenanigans would you be worshipped for? Catch you later, Space Cowboys. The return of Arkham Eyes, Nerd and Ty.
That's a good question.
For those who don't know, Janestown was an excellent episode of Firefly when their usually brutish security guy, Jane, finds that there's a town on a small backwater planet that worships him as a Robin Hood-esque hero.
The hero of Canton.
The man they call Jane.
Jane. Now don't get me started. I know that whole song.
Back breaking.
We're doing it anyway.
He saw the magistrate
taking every dollar and leaving five cents. He said, you can't do this to my people.
You can't brush them under your heel.
Stop. So, Nick, where would your Janestown be?
My Janestown, I'm pretty sure it would be Stevens Point, Wisconsin. Where I would become legendary for that time I stood up. Somehow a legend would form around that time that I got kicked out of the lobby of the local movie theater at 3 a.m. while I complained about Watchmen. Shortly after leaving the midnight screening of Watchmen.
How about
It would be turned into this epic battle that I had with the manager.
How about you, Fur?
I think it would probably be that it would be in Eau Claire, about the time at my high school when during the day of silence, a couple of bullies came up and started saying really foul, vulgar things to everybody participating, including myself. Although I was not one of these silent people, I was one of the speakers, and they didn't realize that. And it resulted in me basically ripping them a new one. And it was glorious. And there was much joy in regards to that.
Oh, that sounds actually heroic.
Wow. I think mine would have to be Roanoke, where I murdered all of those settlers and tossed their bodies into the sea, and then carved Croatoan on stuff. I'm very old.
Apparently.
I thought you were younger than Gundam.
You should hear about the real tales of Gundam. Anyways.
Yoshiyuki Tomino carved one out of wood.
Alright. We should talk about the Vomit Hat Steve letters. Vomit Hat Steve is a real person who never writes to us, even though he listens to the show. So, until he writes to us, I read a random piece of a book every episode and ask you to guess what it's from.
And Fur and I don't believe in Canada.
And,
well,
yeah,
that's because it doesn't exist.
Shut up. Anyways, I'll poop in your bed.
Oh!
All right. Thanks. Anyways,
what is it with you guys and poop? I don't.
Anyways,
what is it with you and not poop taker?
Anyways, by guessing it correctly, you get included in our Hall of Awesome. Our Hall of Awesome has one member so far, and that is Archimedes, who did guess the world is flat. He's guessed a few others, but I am proud to say that this episode, a second person is being inducted into the Hall of Awesome.
Huzzah!
And that is Zero, or Zero, I don't know how to pronounce your name, Z-A-E-R-O, guessed correctly that that Vomit Hat Steve's letter was a section of Sarah Vowell's The Wordy Shipmates. Arkhamai's also guessed it correctly, but he's already in the Hall of Awesome, and so he's just bragging. So, congratulations, Zero. You will now be included in every episode when we mention the contents of the Hall of Awesome. Be excited.
Yeah, good work for you.
Now, that means I need a new letter.
Mm.
Which I haven't actually... See. This one.
Trey, I got one. Oh. I'm sad now.
All the streets in their neighborhood were to be named after eminent scientists and inventors. That feeling of pride had long since dissipated. Sammy no longer paid very much attention at all to his own Cape Cod, a number 2 or Penobscot model with bay window and miniature golf-sized widow's walk.
Steve's using a lot of big words. Wow.
That's all you're getting this time, because I have a feeling you people are Googling the passages and just seeing what pops up on Google Books. So if you can tell us what book that is from, you can get included in the Hall of Awesome with Arkhamai's and Zero. And to tell us, just go to nerdandtie.thronline.com.
Click on the contact form. Yeah. And if you have anything else you'd like to send us a letter about, please do, because we will read it on the air, assuming that it's good. Gentlemen, it's been a good fortnight.
It has.
I think. And we will all see you in a couple weeks, and 2 weeks after that, we'll be at No Brand Con to do a live show. For Nerd and Ty, I'm Fur.
I'm Trey.
And I'm Nick.
And we'll remember, see you can... I was just going to say, remember, you can subscribe to Nerd and Ty on iTunes or on Stitcher.
It's a thing you can do. Do that. We will see you in a fortnight.